Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Dr. Ava is also a student national spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad knew that we had many enemies that profit from our oppression and are dedicated to our remaining that way. But he also knew that our condition was partly our own fault. He wrote, "The truth must be recognized by the black man, for he himself has assisted greatly in creating this serious problem of unemployment, insecurity, and lack." So let us look at this in the mirror of truth. It is we who are disunified and distrustful of self, with discord and conflict rampant within all our black organizations. We allow envy and jealousy to dominate our relationships with one another. We criticize and condemn everything black-owned and black-operated. It is we who refuse to patronize our own. We refuse to pool our resources to address our own needs. And we have failed to truly analyze and follow the successful models and examples that other ethnic and religious groups have followed to benefit their own people. We, the black man and woman, are the only members of the human race that deliberately walk past the place of business of one of our own kind and spend our dollars with our enemies. So before we can achieve success, we must confront and overcome these self-destructive behaviors. Now, these are the things that we're going to have to do. Follow this. We sent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's economic blueprint to Dr. Naeem Akbar, who is a Muslim and the premier black psychologist in the country. For many years, Dr. Akbar has studied the mental condition of black America, and he has written several books addressing what he calls the chains of psychological slavery. He responded to us with a beautiful and thoughtful letter about the challenges that we would face in bringing an economic program to a people whom he says are actually in worse condition now than we were 48 years ago when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad first introduced it. He wrote that the difficulty we face today is that we not only have to overcome a crippling financial illiteracy, but we must also make fundamental behavioral changes in order to achieve ultimate success. Implementing such a program, he said, would require us to restore the moral conscience that is in a downward spiral in our slavish imitation of everything and everybody that is unrighteous. The brilliance of the program, he wrote, is that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad prophetically and insightfully sees that black people have come under influences that represent deterioration and are self-determined and morally guided behavior. And the result of this behavior, he writes, is that our economic condition will similarly decline as we become increasingly like the immoral role models that are before us.
Elevated Places call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and we are live, blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. Make sure you tweet your friends and family and let them know, also on Facebook, and your friends on other Blog Talk Radio stations, programs, that we are live now on the air. And, of course, you know that Elevated Places is a forum where we invite all of those who want to engage in intelligent conversation, no matter what background you are, to join in. So call us and join the discussion. 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. I am also happy, as always, to share with you that Elevated Places is streaming live right now in Waterloo, Iowa, on WKBOL 100.1 FM. KBOL also airs Minister Louis Farrakhan on The Time and What Must Be Done. You can check the website for The Times. And on Fridays, Brother Michael Muhammad has a program entitled Torchlight, also on 100.1 FM WKBOL. So always take some time and support that wonderful station. I am so happy to be back again. Very pleased to be joined by my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, as well as our Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, who also heads the Ministry of Agriculture for the Nation of Islam and hosts his own Blog Talk Radio program immediately following The Time and What Must Be Done every Saturday. You always can hear the premiere episodes of The Time and What Must Be Done, and we are currently completing an airing of the Savior's Day 2013 message, The Economic Blueprint of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I am just returning this weekend. I had the pleasure of taking part in the Nation of Islam Student Association first annual youth summit. It was absolutely phenomenal. And it was filled with workshops, information exchanges that are relevant not only to young people but to all of us. Brother Dr. Ridgely Muhammad also took part in that, and I was blessed to be able to deliver the lecture at Muhammad Mosque number 45 on Sunday. My family and I are so grateful. The believers and supporters there under the direction of Minister Robert Muhammad just rolled out the red carpet for us. And I have to say that it was incredible to watch young people actually organize themselves. They organized and put together and coordinated an incredible event, and I'm really proud of them. So my congratulations to the Nation of Islam youth in general, and particularly those at Muhammad Mosque number 45. And in a short time, as we talk about our youth, we are going to be joined by two very special black women who are going to share with us an event that will be taking place during the March on Washington anniversary. This is the 50th year since the March on Washington, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered the legendary message that actually had such a powerful impact on history then and now. And we're going to be talking very shortly with Dr. Stephanie Myers, as well as Sister Ruth Marshall from Black Women for Positive Change. But before we do that, we definitely want to make sure we're joined by Brother Terrence and Dr. Ridgely. Assalamu alaikum to my brothers.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. It is so good. Dr. Ridgely, I haven't seen you since Sunday in Houston. And I stayed until Tuesday.
Wow.
And yes, it was that engaging. I thought that I was going to sleep in on Tuesday, Monday morning, but that was not the plan that was had for me. But I had an incredible time with the Vanguard, the young sisters down there. And we went out to dinner, went to the movies hosted by the mosque officials. Just incredible.
I was really impressed with the camaraderie and the family nature of Houston. I was really impressed with that.
Yes. Yeah, it's very powerful. They are actually living the teachings in the sense of generational growth. There are so many young people there, including our wonderful singer and rapper, Sister Akila Muhammad. And, you know, there's a picture of Sister Akila and I on Facebook, and she's about 2 years old. I'm holding her in my lap, way back in the early 90s. And so to see these children develop, Brother Tariq Muhammad, who was one of the major coordinators of the Youth Summit, and I have known his mother and father for many years, and it's just wonderful to see that, as you said. And of course, Houston number 45 has more licensed attorneys than any other mosque in the Nation of Islam. And so there are a lot of professionals. Student Minister Robert has sons who are in college right now studying to be engineers. They are really doing things that facilitate nation building, not the least of which is the mosque itself, which is absolutely gorgeous. And sits on what I consider to be like a little campus. They have an outbuilding that they use for a school, and they are quite capable in that beautiful and large edifice of hosting anything they want, and that's what they did
that's right.
This weekend. We had some beautiful events, including dinner, and I don't want to overlook Student Minister Abdul Muhammad out of Chicago, Illinois, who is the assistant principal at Percy Julian High School here in Chicago. He's in the ministry, and he is also a very powerful and exciting teacher.
That's right.
And he took part in the weekend's events. But it was just great.
Yeah, it was great. And again, I told the students, I left a word back to them, was that they have got to recognize the group that they have and how they're able to work together. Do not break up that group thinking that you're going to find something better. You have to that and build on that. And so when they go off to college, keep those connections and bring more people into their college underneath that connection, and then build on that for future summits and future engagement. Because this is what rich white folks do. They send their children to college to meet other rich white folks' children to develop organizations, develop infrastructure in terms of personalities and relationships. Because that's where
that's
you start with business. You have to start with a relationship. So they have a good start on future nation building with those relationships and the expertise and willingness to subjugate ego for the total picture.
Good teaching. Good teaching. The real base of wealth is not money. You know, money is just an effect. It's not a cause. It has no intrinsic value. It's symbolic of wealth. And real wealth is rooted, as you just said so perfectly, it's rooted in relationships.
That's right.
And that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad means by pooling resources, we automatically think he means things.
More.
And that includes things, but when he says resources, he's talking about human resources, you know, coming
right.
together with people who share, you know, common history, common ancestry, and brilliant ideas. I love that you urge the students to do that, the young people to do that. And Brother Terrence Muhammad, the man, not man about town, but man about America. The mover and the shaker. Let's hear from you, and I know you've got some things to bring to our attention.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we want to once again do give a big shout-out to Houston, Texas, but as you stated, the biggest shout-out is that, you know, when we offer young people the opportunity to have their place in the spotlight, that they not only showed out. So we are very, very much so proud of the young people for pulling this together and organizing and making it happen. As a person who has organized national, local, regional events, I know what it takes to pull off an event and to have such caliber as yourselves on this panel, discussions and presentations. Mm-hmm. And I would just say to all the students going back, you know, get started early in your books and your lessons and get ready to build a nation. So as you're studying for whatever major you're in, get ready to utilize your information and your knowledge to help build a nation. As I was speaking to some young people tonight, next week we celebrate 50 years since the March on Washington, and I told them to subtract 30, 40, 50 years from those that talked about they were there back then, 30, 40, 50 years from their age, who's ever talking it right now, and you'll realize that they were not old people then, they were always young people. So the value of young people is so necessary in the struggles in a movement. As we look at the Children's March in Birmingham during the Civil Rights era. And I mentioned that as you talked about the summit, our brother Philip Agnew of the Dream Defenders, they're leaving the Capitol building after 31 days in the Capitol
yeah.
building of Florida, which the governor has agreed to meet with them or look at some legislation in September. So as they are going back to school, more Dream Defenders and a fresh crop of students will periodically be going to the Capitol to wage demonstrations and sit in. But young people once again took to the forefront, and they had our brother Julian Bonds come, Talib Kweli, rap artist, come. They also had Harry Belafonte come down to the Capitol. And since we're talking about young people, Dream Defenders, and hip-hop, we also need to at some point bring Russell Simmons onto our show or have a conversation with our brother Russell Simmons, who just recently took down a video off of Def Digital YouTube where it had a portrayal of Harriet Tubman seducing her slave master for pleasures, and they show her in the bedroom with her slave master trying to get free. It was told in comedy, but people, as we know, didn't take it as comedy, and we are looking for an apology from our brother for that video being allowed to be played on his show. Also, we're talking about the economic blueprint. We still want everyone to listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan every Saturday night from 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern at NOI.org, the time. Listen to the Time of What Must Be Done series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he has been talking about economics, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad Economic Blueprint, where we're trying to get land, and we are going to Tuskegee, Alabama. And I want to really say that Tuskegee is a free event October 20th, celebrating the 18th anniversary of the Million Man March. We will be down in the city of Tuskegee, Alabama. It is free, free to come here, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan outside. We must get land, and I say that because there's a large growing conversation about GMOs. The wonderful drinks that I used to drink called Naked are no longer considered a natural drink, no longer considered without using GMOs. So nothing is protected that we drink or eat. And also on Facebook, people have been putting up the bull, the Belgian blue. And if you haven't heard of a Belgian blue, you might want to Google it, and you may, after watching and looking at the Belgian blue, you might end up turning vegetarian. This is what people are getting fed. Once you see it, you'll understand. And closing out, we just got to remember our brother Trayvon Martin and this justice system as I witnessed a racial profiling taking place yesterday with a sentencing of one of my friends, King J of the Almighty Latin Kings and Queen. The persecution and the racial profiling that went on that put him in a federal court to give him time when the court system made him to look out as evil, as we look with the Trayvon and Zimmerman case, how they made Trayvon look as a criminal, and as we saw Zimmerman get off. So this Elevated Places is the place to be. We thank you for tuning in, coming on the show, and let's get right into tonight's discussion, because there's a lot of things going on for the commemoration of the March on Washington next week. We have one of those groups on, as well as the National Urban League, National Action Network, Black Youth Vote, and also there is a march planned next Friday against an organization called ALEC in Silver Springs, Maryland. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on around the country that we need to be aware about.
All right. Well, we are joined presently by two people who are engaging in coordinating a very critical event that's going to take place during the March on Washington, and that is the National Summit on Nonviolence and the National Day on Nonviolence on August the 22nd. Dr. Stephanie Myers, and she is the national co-chair and co-founder of Black Women for Positive Change, and that is a national civic network that is dedicated to strengthening the American middle working class with a focus on the African American community, also changing the culture of violence in America. And she is professionally the vice president of R.J. Myers Publishing and Consulting Company, and it is a management consulting research firm that provides capacity building, cyber communications, and public services. And she is co-producer of www.urbanhealthcast.com. That's a website dedicated to webcasting minority health lectures, workshops, conferences, and she's also an author of Black History and children's books. That's just a little brief piece of her extensive and powerful biography. And she is joined by Ruth Marshall, who is also a charter member of Black Women for Change, for Positive Change. And Sister Ruth is a leading member of the Nonviolence Task Force. She lives in Washington, D.C., in the Queens Chapel community, where she served as president of the Queens Chapel Civic Association. And she was president of the D.C. Federation of Civic Associations 2007 through 2009. And her work in politics includes working as a volunteer for local mayoral and council candidates, volunteering in Black Women for Obama for President in President Barack Obama's 2008 and 2012 re-election. And currently, she is Director of Administration for Premier Consultants International, Inc., which is a construction consulting firm. And Sister Ruth has 25 years of experience in administration, banking, real estate development, and construction. So welcome, Dr. Stephanie Myers, and also welcome Sister Ruth Marshall. We're so thankful that you have taken time to join us on Elevated Places and tell us about what is going to be going on in Washington, D.C. on the 22nd.
Well, thank you very much for the beautiful introduction, and we're just honored to be on your show this evening, Sister Muhammad.
It's great to have you.
We represent Black Women for Positive Change, as you indicated. And like many people living in our country, as women, grandmothers, mothers, aunts, We have just been distraught with the picture of violence going on among our young people and in our community. With the Trayvon Martin situation that started a year ago, it was agonizing to see what went on in that situation. And, of course, we've all been traumatized since then with the non-resolution of the George Zimmerman case and the way he was let go. It's just been really unbelievable. And then we had a young lady come to Washington to march in the president's inaugural, Hadiya Pendleton, and went back home and killed by random act of violence. And we know every day in our communities all around America, our youth, our beautiful youth, the ones who should be doing like the ones you mentioned, you were just at the summit and saw all of the young people going to school, you know, perfecting their trade and their craft and getting educated. Instead of that, we're seeing our kids get killed. And
That's
unfortunately,
right.
far too often, they're killing each other. So we decided the first part of this year, 2013, to do something about it. And the something we decided to do was to have a summit on nonviolence, which will come up next week during the week of the March on Washington. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. This is Ruth, and we're trying to target all violence. You know, I know that right now very prevalent in the media is a gun violence, and of course that's very important because for some reason that now is the weapon of choice when you want to inflict pain on other people. But we wanted to also just focus on violence, period. And starting with, you know, before whatever act you're going to do is manifested, you have to think about it. So we're trying to even change the paradigm of how we think. Every time you run into a provocative situation or some confrontation, you don't always have to respond through violence, whether it be violent words or violent deeds. So we're trying to launch focus on, look, let's just change this whole paradigm of violence from the way we speak, the way we think, and what we do. And one of the first things we can start is our communication. It seems like right now everybody wants, you know, to be a participant on the Jerry Springer show. When things aren't going your way or you find yourself in an embarrassing situation, you know, you want to scream, you want to fight, you want to call names. When you first call someone out of their name, anything but a human being, you dehumanize them. And when something is dehumanized, then you can do whatever you want to do with them. So we're trying to start first from what goes through your mind. And we're trying to urge our young people, you know, when they are confronted, you know, with that type of challenge, to take a second thought. Because 9 times out of 10, your first thought is not the one you ought to follow.
Well, that is excellent. And I understand that the summit is going to take place before we continue on, and I don't want us to miss making sure people know the time and location.
This is Ruth again. The event is going to be held next Thursday, August 22nd, at the historic Metropolitan AME Church in downtown Washington, D.C. When I say historical, the historic church, it's because, you know, Frederick Douglass worshipped there, Paul Robeson worshipped there, and in fact, the night before Dr. Martin Luther King gave his iconic speech at the March on Washington, he also addressed the congregation there. So it is full of history, wonderful history, and when you go to the church, they'll have a lot of historical artifacts, you know, on display. The church is located at 1518 M as in Mother Street, Northwest, and it's a beautiful church. And as soon as you walk through the doors, you're going to feel at home, and you're going to feel familiar, even if you've never been there before. We're having a youth summit in the morning from 9 to noon, and then we're having the national nonviolent summit from 1 to 5. And we've partnered with the faith-based community, so we have a whole host of people on the summit council who are leaders in the church, leaders in the community, business community as well. And we also have youth leaders. So it's going to be a very, very memorable and, I think, impactful affair.
Well, I love the idea of going to the root of violence in the sense that from the perspective, or at least one of the deeper aspects of it, that action is preceded by a thought pattern and a perception, you know, of other people. So I love that you're addressing that.
And there's also, we have to consider, we always talk about it takes a village to raise a child. And, of course,
yeah,
we treasure our village and our community. But we also must take a step back and say, if our children are being nurtured in a way that when they become teenagers and young adults, they end up in these conflicts and the violent situations, what is the village doing wrong? We've got
That's
to
right.
step back a little bit and examine the village. It's not the kids. The kids don't ask to come here. They come, and we nurture them, and we raise them. So it's a double-prong issue. So we're reaching out to parents as well as youth. We're not just saying to the youth, this is all on you. Oh, no, it's on the parents. It's on the laws. It's on the law enforcement system. It's in the schools. It's a societal issue. So our theme is changing the culture of violence in America. That's what we're focused on. There's way too much violence that goes on every single day. Television, as we all know, you can sit and watch it in the evenings and probably just watch dozens of murders happening in front of you on the television. The video games are violent. The films that go on at the movie theaters. So we have acculturated our young people to feel that aggression and anger and acting out on anger is the right thing to do. So we really, as a society, not just the African-American community, the entire country has to step back. Now, we recognize that there's a need for force and strength in the military, and we know that public safety is a reality and that there is a need for strength there as well. But that's not what we're addressing. We're talking about gang number one going after gang number two in the neighborhood next door. And we're talking about a George Zimmerman attacking a teenager, an innocent teenager. And on the news tonight, down in Miami, there's a case of a young African-American man driving in his car in a nightclub district, and the police end up firing 116 rounds at his car. Unbelievable. It happened 2 years ago, and it's on the news tonight. So this country, we've got to take a turn. We have got to take a turn. The adults, the youth, the pastors, the teachers, the parents, everyone. So at our summit that Ruth mentioned on August 22nd, we'll have the young people in the morning, and we'll have the national summit in the afternoon. And one of the other things we've done, Sister Alva, because we say this is a national problem, we have reached out to elected officials all over the country as Black Women for Positive Change, and we have said to them, we want you to declare a day of nonviolence on August 22nd. And we have received responses from 7 states so far. We have 2 governors. We have mayors in cities like Boston and Denver and Houston and Birmingham and Philadelphia. And for your listeners, I invite them to come on our website, www.blackwomenforpositivechange.org, and find out if their town or their city has declared a day of nonviolence. And if not, call up City Hall and ask them to. We have got to make this a top-to-bottom kind of issue.
That's exactly right.
And Dr. Ava, I just wanted to jump in. I just want to thank
sure.
your sisters because they reached out to the Hip Hop Caucus, Reverend Lennox Yearwood, to be a part of it. And, you know, one of the things that was so wonderful about this is that they're engaging young people and having a conversation with young people. And that was one of the good draws for us. And I know Dr. Ben Chavis with the Hip Hop Summit Action Network and a lot of his civil rights things that he's done. But one of the most powerful things that was just said, Dr. Ava, that I just heard was, and I think a lot of people need to listen and hear it, we cannot blame the product for the product. We
exactly.
have to blame that which shaped the product, which made the product, and look at what was created. Our generation and our young people are a product of a society, of a generation, a way of life. So when adults say, well, we didn't act like this in my day, we didn't behave like, no, you did not, because society didn't have what society has today. So when we're looking at the dominating culture of violence that's on our TVs, that in truth we have seen it more because you can see TV on cell phones. You can see violence on cell phones and video games. There's so much stuff around us that as they're engaged in this whole question, it's not just white on black violence, it's black on black violence. And then also understand the domestic violence that we see all the time perpetrated on women. And as our brother Sharif Muhammad had a tape years ago, verbal abuse, talking about how violence is perpetrated just off the use of language. So when we look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and he's teaching us a love of self, a knowledge of self, you know, that changes the mindset. And even with us in our culture of calling one another brother and sister, it's hard to hurt and commit violence on your brother or sister. But when we have these words like the N-word and B's and H's, you know, it's easy to commit violence on things that you have no worth or see no worth in. So I appreciate the collectiveness, the totality, the wholeness of the approach that they're using.
Well, yeah. We appreciate you, TC. TC's leadership is great. He's been really a part of our committee and has worked closely with Ruth Marshall, and she can elaborate on that. But one other point, and then, of course, I want her to continue. We are producing a film that will be available on YouTube in about 2 weeks. It's a 15-minute short film called On Second Thought. Ruth Marshall referred to people thinking and then thinking again. Well, we've produced a film that people will be able to download on their cell phones and on their computer. And the whole storyline has to do with young people getting involved in a murder situation where two young girls are pregnant by the same guy. And then one of the girls and the guy conspire to kill the other girl. This is based on a true story that happened in Boston. And at the end of this film, we back it up to the point where the young man and the young woman started to conspire to kill the other girl, and we stop it there. And instead of committing the murder, she picks up the phone and calls her father. So we're trying to show young people, when you're in a crisis, reach out to dad, to mom, to grandma, to granddad, and get some advice, and think again.
Yeah, you know, this is Ruth. TC, he really zoned in about that it's not the product, you know, the product didn't produce the product. And I must say, as far as I'm concerned, the way I feel about it is that we, our generation, and I'm 62 years old, we didn't do a good job of molding and shaping our children. We didn't want our children to grow up the way, you know, we did of not having things. So once we got the better jobs or whatever, then we started giving our kids everything. And we didn't want to talk about the hard times. We didn't want to talk about Jim Crow. We didn't want to talk about even, you know, slaving, what grandma and granddad had to go through. So what we've done in the National Summit, which starts at, which goes from 1 to 5, we have panels. And on the first panel we have, we're going to have people who actually worked with Dr. King in his nonviolent concepts. We have Ms. Willie King, who was one of his secretaries, who helped transcribe the notes from the Birmingham the letter from the Birmingham jail. We have Ernie Green, who was also trained with under Dr. King with the SCLC. We want young people to understand that nonviolence is going to have to, you know, with a way of to get from A to B in that time, and it was so effective that we need to do it now. We need to go back to that same thing of nonviolence, because if we do everything violently, all we're going to do is end up, you know, harming and killing each other and those who are not even, you know, in our own communities. And we've had enough of that. We need to stop that. So we're giving them a sort of history lesson, you know, of the nonviolent, you know, civil rights movement. And then we go into another panel where we talk about the pain and cause of violence. You know, there'll be people there who have lost loved ones. And, you know, sometimes we don't think of the effect of the people that that are left behind, of the families and the community and the friends. We, Black Women for Positive Change, the White House reached out to us back in March 28th of this year, when President Obama was put on a press conference at the White House for gun regulation. And they reached out to us to find moms who have lost their children to violence. And that was a very hard thing to me when Dr. Myers called me, and and we really didn't know anyone firsthand. So I had to reach out to a foundation that I had met a lady a couple years before. She introduced me to the young lady who lost her 16-year-old son over a pair of shoes back in February. She turned me on to another young lady who lost her 18-year-old son at Suitland High School here in D.C. back in February. She turned me on to another lady who lost her son at Norfolk State. So I'm just saying, you have this whole community of broken hearts and broken families, because 9 times out of 10, these people, the perpetrators, did not take a moment to say, look, you don't have to take someone's life because they stepped on their shoes. You don't have to take someone's life because, you want their shoes. Life is important. Life is valuable. But we've now become a society, that when we hear about, a death, a killing, a murder, we just keep on going, doing what we're doing. We've become so desensitized through movies, through everything that's going around us. We have got to get back to square one, where you respect other people's humanity. If we don't do that, then we're all going to be self-destructive.
That's exactly right. And, I must say that, of course, a driving principle of the Nation of Islam is and always has been nonviolence, peaceful behavior. You are not permitted to be a member of the Nation of Islam and own a weapon, carry a weapon, a gun. It has never been done because of the very things that you are saying now. And it's a way of life, because the question becomes, what is it we're seeking to achieve? And if the means of getting there is the taking of life, this is what we suffered, our parents suffered, going back to slavery, Jim Crow, Emmett Till, all the way up. And I love what you said about the loss of life that is not even processed in the mind of one who behaves in that manner. I saw the film Fruitvale Station, and we had Oscar Grant's uncle on this show last year and recently to talk about the movie. And when Oscar Grant was murdered by the transit police officer several years ago, I think it was 2009, going into New Year's Day, just simply going out to celebrate New Year's Eve, and he was lying on the floor of the subway platform and was shot in the back by an officer who claimed that he thought he had his taser. I didn't understand why he would be in the thinking of even tasering him.
Exactly.
The hostility, the disrespect or refusal to see a person as another human being. And what really stood out in that film for me, which was directed by a 27-year-old brother from Oakland, who's the same age as Oscar would be, and he said he determined when he found out about it that he had to tell his story. And the real essence of the story, I don't want to give it away for people that haven't seen it, is you see the destruction, the width and depth of the destruction, because you realize this was someone with a life. This was someone with a 4-year-old child. This was someone with a mother, a grandmother, aunts, uncles, friends who adored him and whose lives are destroyed. They will live on. They have to.
Mm-hmm.
But their lives are ruined by this one moment that came out of just a complete depraved indifference toward human life. And Dr. King said, there's always this limiting of his message to I Have a Dream. And even if we were to listen to that entire speech he gave that day, we would have a better understanding of what he was facing and dealing with. And he said that the crime in the black community is a derivative crime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're imitating the behavior of the slave master.
Mm-hmm.
We're imitating activity that was visited upon us. And so we did fail our children. I agree totally. And it did rise out of such pain, you know, just sort of put something in the deep recesses of your mind. And I guess we didn't realize we were depriving them of something that's so essential to a seamless culture and self-pride, and that is one's history.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And they almost, they behave almost like they just popped up out of a box.
Yeah.
Because, and in fact, my husband is coaches and teaches in the high schools, and he said a teacher told him that her class asked her, how do we know you're telling the truth when you say we were slaves?
Mm.
That's scary.
And
terrifying.
There's all kinds of examples of that.
But there's another
on.
Dimension to this, Sister Ava, and that is the positive end. We also must help our young people have vision for their enormous capacity. Those young people you saw
That's
at
right.
your summit over in, just the other day, we have got the most well-informed, in my opinion, smartest, capable generation of African Americans ever.
Right.
They are
That's
just
exactly right.
they're brilliant. You can give them a computer that they've never seen, and within 20 minutes they're operating it.
That's
they
right.
have natural capacity. You see what they do in the sports industry. You see what they're doing. The young man you just described producing that amazing movie, Fruitvale Station.
Yes.
Somehow, during a time when America has sent jobs overseas and our economy is shrinking, Detroit is dying, we must find new future vision for these fabulous young people. Many of them don't think they're going to live past 40. So we've got to step back the way Malcolm X and Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. Martin Luther King, they were globalists. They never told black people, you must stay in your neighborhood on your street. They were talking about a global and a worldwide role for African Americans that I believe we must convince our young people that this is their job. So one of the things we want to do with the Nonviolence Summit and with the Day on Nonviolence, we want our hip-hoppers, our rappers, our gangbangers, we want them to realize the power of nonviolence, because once they get it, they can be a tremendous, tremendous asset to the people in Egypt right now, to the people
That's
right. in Syria, the people in China. Our young people are loved all over the world because of their talent. So they're the ones to really be the leaders and show the world that it is possible to have a world without violence.
Exactly. And I've got a couple people, before we let you all go, because these may be questions and comments for you, and so we're going to go to the phones, and I must add Minister Farrakhan, who in 1995, August the 16th, successfully called together the largest gathering in the history of the country and the most people, and it was all black men,
and
most of whom were Christian. They weren't Muslims. They were Christian. And so all of these talking heads on TV and radio who keep using black-on-black violence as, I guess that's supposed to be a defense to Trayvon's murder by George Zimmerman. And Trayvon is a child of educated parents, who clearly had a very strong role in his upbringing, and it didn't save him, you know. And the idea to racialize violence, I love that you said violence in America, because
yeah.
you know, we just got through watching days of this man out in California
oh.
who kidnaps a young girl who whose father is his was his best friend, and killed her mother, killed her 8-year-old brother, burned their house to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens enough that it's in the tabloids. There are shows on that are sustained by the countless murders committed in America.
Exactly.
And most of those shows I watch, those aren't black people. These are people killing their babies, killing
yep.
their mothers and grandmothers, spouses to get insurance money. And so
right.
it's this broad culture, as you're saying.
The culture of
that
violence
we have to get,
in America.
That's right. That,
culture.
You know, we,
it's a
culture. It's environment. It is. Because our children, they're just imitating what they're surrounded
exactly.
by.
Exactly.
They don't play house and mom and dad like we did. They grow up and all they see is Black Ops and Grand Theft Auto and this kind of thing. So we I love that you are saying, look, you can't put it on the children. They didn't ask to be born. They are. That's why they're called offspring, you know, because they spring off of us.
Exactly.
And we got to get back in there, and I love that you said, that I agree with you 1,000%, the brilliance that is in these children, and to hear them say, you know, I hope I make it to 21, you know, I might make it. That type of despair, we have the power to remove that, and we have to. But let me go to the phones. We have Sister Thomasine who's calling, and let me see if I can get this mic open. There it goes. Sister Thomasine, welcome to Elevated Places.
Thank you for welcoming me. I was enjoying all the comments that I've heard, but we have done a lot of talking, and I am most of the time in the street letting our young black men and females know who they are, whose shoulders we stand on. We're descendants of slaves. We are descendants of captured free people. And to understand how important their mind is, you have a mind that our people came up when white people wouldn't let you go in the store, buy anything, do anything. We created our millionaires. They created things out of nothing. They learned how to make wigs with their own hair, created a millionaire, became a black man, became a man, just driving a bus 15 blocks back and forth. And we had, they had theaters and such things. And all of this was burned down. When you take a people that had been depressed and criticized, and then they burn up what they made and steal from them and then laugh at them going down the street
right.
on the back of a truck. But we still came back. They came back and did started over again and over again. So you just wonder, you know, we keep talking, wonder when does it stop? It won't stop. We have to get out there. I wish we could do from each state, do an event this year on violence, not just on violence, but to talk to the children and bring them all together and the parents that are having gang members, children, you know, children having gang members are birthing children, and the kids are growing up seeing this. They're not seeing nothing positive out of the church community except people down in each state. Somebody's, what can the kids learn when you go to church and there's a sister talking about another sister? Then there's a faith talking about another faith. We are totally divided just amongst ourselves, and it's causing an inside deterioration among our children because we are not together. I have never seen a day in my life when you have people that have ideas and your own race will try to go against you because you're trying to do something out of nothing. You have a good idea. They want to kill what you're doing, kill your name, and then they want to, oh, let's come together. You can't come together with that kind of division.
No,
We have a problem with our own self. Then they look at our kids. The kids are looking at us.
Yes, ma'am.
What can you do when you got people living out south? I don't live north. Oh, I live south. And then they look down on their own people. They look down on their own because they don't live out south. They
Hello?
Sister Thomasine?
Okay.
I don't think we lost her, but she may have went on mute accidentally, or she'll rejoin us.
There's always going to be, people. That's just relationships. There's always going to be people who are going to poo-poo what someone else is doing because, you know, people who lie down is always blinded by those who stand on their own 2 feet. But we have to move forward anyway. You know, people say, racism and discrimination, that's always going to be there. You got to move forward anyway. So I'm saying those things are there. They've always been there. So I'm saying you're not going to kill that. But what we got to do is change this whole paradigm of how we're thinking about ourselves and where we want to go and what we want to do. And when I say us, I'm talking about Americans because, you know, just as much crime in the white community, although it's not on the news as much. I know here in Washington, I used to work in Bethesda, Maryland, and they had a Gazette paper. There was all kind of rapes and shootings and stuff, but you never heard it on the 6 o'clock news. So we don't want to get it twisted. It's only in communities where there's people of color. That's not true. So I'm saying those things are going to be there, but we got to rise above it anyway. So let's start that process.
But also we can reduce it substantially. You know, the excerpt that we played at the opening of the show from Minister Farrakhan's Savior's Day message, he addressed that very thing. You know, distrust, envy, jealousy, refusal to pool resources, that we have to get beyond that. And the only way to get beyond it is to push through it. You know, somebody's got to take the point, as they say. You know, the sister raised the point of what are we doing. That's it. We have to support one another and reduce that noise down to where it does not have any substantive meaning.
Right, change the focus
to where it's no longer a real impediment. And as you said, it's not limited to us, but it's that we allow it. We allow it to subsume us because God knows it exists.
Right. So we have to stop consenting to it. We have to stop consenting to that type of mentality. And just,
we have to change
behavior. Like one of the things we have is a positive change pledge. And we're asking hip hoppers, dancers, artists to produce, perform, or write one positive work of art by the end of the year. Now we're going to have young people who are going to produce these poems, raps, whatever they produce, pieces, works of art. Now the job of the village is going to be to applaud them and praise them and recognize them. When our young people do something good, we must make it as beneficial to them as the praise they get from their peers when they do something we don't think is so great. So changing the behavior, changing the culture, the hip-hoppers, as T.C. mentioned, we have a young man, Jaziri X, who's going to be with us out of Pittsburgh. And
she's awesome. Mm-hmm.
We are very proud that Jaziri X is featured on the front page of the Final Call newspaper this week.
Right.
We were absolutely thrilled.
And this young man, I mean, you know, well, we had a minister out of Pittsburgh, you know, who's on our council, and he was the one who reached out to Jaziri X. But here's the thing.
Okay.
He was so excited about the summit. You know, he's coming down. He wanted to be a part of it, he himself. So it's just fantastic. So he will be here with us in the afternoon of the 22nd.
That's great. And he was in Houston, and, you know, Jaziri is an example of that brilliance and,
you know,
the entrepreneur capability he's demonstrated in independence. Let me take a call. This happens all the time. Everybody lines up. Now we're really down to the last 30 minutes of the program, so we've got to move on. But let's take Brother Hoyle is calling us. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hoyle.
Well, alaikum salam, sister, and all of your guests, sisters, the sisters on, and brother Dr. Ridgely and brother Terrence, and I want to give the greetings to the sisters.
Thank
you. How you doing, sisters? We say assalamu alaikum, peace.
Alaikum salam.
Yes, I want to thank you. This is all part of, I was telling another brother, this is part of a movement. And on the new final call, Brother Tony was writing for peace, has a movement. We were talking about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he had all the bikers and the Harleyers and the sports bikers come together, and they had a pledge of the Million Man March and the book, The Way to Happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all good, and like sisters, you know, with what you're doing, this is all part of a movement. But any way you do, and everything I was listening to the show, this is all positive. So I support it, and I hope the brothers and the nation support it, and we just got to keep a movement going. Whatever, we all are the nation of people righteousness, so we got to keep this going. So sisters, you're doing an excellent job. We ought to do a part, you know. Do our part in this. I'm just listening, and this is beautiful what you're doing. But I want to read some points in the Nation of Islam.
Real quick.
These are points that the Honorable Elijah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sister. I'm
yes,
sorry.
Don't apologize.
Okay.
Just go ahead and read.
All right, number one, separate. Okay, these are 12 points by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They're very important. Separate yourselves from the slave master. Two, pool your resources. Education and qualifications for independence. Three, stop forcing yourselves into places where you are not wanted. Four, make your own neighborhood a decent place to live. Five, rid yourselves of the lust for wine and drink and learn to love yourself and your kind before loving others. Six, unite and create a future for yourself. Seven, build your homes, schools, hospitals, and factories. Eight, do not seek to mix your blood through racial integration. 8, 9, stop buying expensive cars, fine clothes, and shoes before being able to live in a fine home. 10, spend your money among yourselves. 11, build an economic system among yourselves. And 12, protect your women. So, sister, I want to get off the phone, let somebody else talk, and keep up good work, sisters. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Thank you so
much.
Alaikum, and thank you for sharing the 12 points with us, because that's right and exact, and it's simple, but it's not easy. You know, it's simple to understand, but living that and doing that is our last obstacle. But we got to get it done, because if we don't, we have condemned this beautiful, brilliant generation to its doom. We have
yes.
to. We are at a do or die point in our history now. So let me take one more question before I let our sisters go. We have Sister Kathy on the line, and she has a question. Welcome to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you? How's the panel?
We're
just
all
fine.
Good.
Welcome.
Yes, ma'am. One particular thing stuck out of my mind, that there was a young brother, I'm sorry I did not get his name, but he did mention the fact that the younger generation, of course, are not products of their own self. They're from our generation. Well, excuse me, if they're from the previous generation.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings to mind the home. It was also mentioned earlier, you know, what happens in the home, what happens in the interaction between the male and the female in front of the children,
mm-hmm.
the situation with the siblings, and how that whole dynamic has an effect on their expectation of what is going to happen for them outside of their doors. Because
mm-hmm.
the world within, you know, first at home and then abroad, you know, is foundational. So how do we handle the microcosm of the community, which is the family, and the relationship between the male and the female, the mother and the father? How would you incorporate? I hope that's being incorporated, because I think that's just foundational. I don't think we're hearing enough of that, you know, because that's taking responsibility to, you know, in a very sensitive, with a very sensitive issue, you know, between, you know, what happens between the mother and the child, Right, we understand. Excuse me, the mother and the father in front of the child, and those things
That's
are
right.
very, very sensitive, but
yes.
they're key because that is how every child is formed. What goes around is, of course, we learn this in Dianetics and this primal in psychology. What happens around an individual in their primary years carries on throughout their years.
Absolutely.
So we find a lot of violence in the home.
Okay.
One of the ways that Black Women for Positive Change is trying to address the relationships in our community is we have men in our organization, and we are doing this summit in partnership with men in our community who are leaders, faith leaders, business people. Oftentimes, women's groups have meetings where there's only women there. And so one of the ways we think that we can strengthen our families and our community is by developing positive, collaborative relationships around these issues. We have to do it together. So we're trying to demonstrate that at the summit as well.
And we also have a panel, Sister, on conflict resolution methods. I mean, you know, relationships are hard because, you know, it's a give-and-take thing. And sometimes other people like to take and don't give, and other people just give too much. And, you know, so we have – there's always going to be, you know, disagreements and that come up in everybody's lives. So how do you – that's not the problem. The problem is how do you handle these disagreements. A lot of times, you know, it's reduced to personality. It's reduced to name-calling. It's reduced to, you know, making someone feel subhuman. So I'm saying – that's one way we can start, just like, you know, Dr. Meyer say, by us having conversation with both male and female. That's one way to get started. But also, everybody have, you know, conflicts, so how do you resolve those conflicts? We have a gentleman named Dr. Marvin Johnson, who is executive director of the Center for Alternative Dispute Resolution out of Maryland, and he's going to be heading a panel talking about that very thing. Because a lot of the problems our children have starts in the home with the parents or their home environment. So how do we clean that up? How do we make that more positive, you know, for the children? So I hear what you're saying, and you're absolutely right. But, you know, you got to get started somewhere, and that's why, you know, this whole summit is about all kinds of violence, you know, the verbal abuse, elder abuse, child abuse, you know, you name it. Sexual orientation, hating, and all this old stuff, you know. We're trying to say, look, first of all, look at each other as, you know, as honoring their humanity, honoring the other person's humanity, honoring their personalities. You know, everything is not going to be your way. So how do you resolve these issues? So that's what we're going to be leading that. With the group, because we're offering a toolkit, and in the toolkit it'll have all kind of suggestions and tips and things that you can do, as well as a copy of our 12-minute video that Dr. Meyer spoke about earlier. We have a parent guide in it that starts with, you know, kids as early as 3 months old up to about 13, so you can get that in the home. Because sometimes, you know, parents don't know what to do. You know, if people don't know what
right.
to do when they're in a conflicting situation. So, you know, we're just giving them something they can use to work on, go back to their homes, their community, and take it from there.
And it goes back to the parents themselves, their childhood, because
right.
abused children become abusive adults. And of course, as we're taught in the Nation of Islam, this is why we have a courtship process. This is why we have strong societal demands on men as well as women, because of the fact that, see, a female has to have a support system. We didn't have this extensive type of violence when we had extended family. When
right.
when families maintain contact with grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know, this society is such a every man for himself
right.
Type of society. And oftentimes women are alone. They're alone and on
yes.
their own. And they go out here at young ages and they become prey, you know, for predators.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And, you know, once they are taught a lower view of themselves, and they don't recognize that motherhood is divine. You can't allow yourself to be verbally or physically abused in front of your children or without your children's presence. It's not, see, in front of the children, that's an effect. That's not a cause. It
right.
shouldn't be tolerated
right.
anywhere. And so, you know, we got to go back to vetting people and teaching our children about, especially the females, self-value. You know, you don't let a man hiss at you like a snake and then you go behind some steps somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. and have sex and then all of a sudden there's a baby. Well, that doesn't create any bond between the mother and father. And that's mm-hmm. why you have these people on Jerry Springer and Maury Povich where it's not mine. Well, what kind of relationship did you have that he can stand there and say that,
right.
you know, about what should be the greatest thing that ever happened to him?
Exactly.
So as you all are saying, sisters, this, I mean, we got to keep this out in the forefront. And as Brother Hoyle called earlier, it's a movement. It's a movement that we have to not turn away from, not get tired. Too many generations before us sacrificed too much, you know, as the song is sung, to turn around now. We ain't going to turn around now.
We got to
make an exodus from this.
He is right that it's a movement because, you know, since we started this, you know, this nonviolent summit, you know, the planning and the preparation of it, we've run into like-minded people, like-minded situations.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was surprising, you know, because, you know, sometimes when you do things, you think that you're the only one doing it. But then you find out, because, you know, we reached out across the country. So we have, you know, Bishop Selders is coming in from Connecticut, you know, because they're focusing on the same thing. You know, you have Minister so-and-so coming in from Massachusetts. You know, I mean, we just reached out
yeah.
all over. And Pittsburgh is really up, you know, and moving, trying to restructure the village that it takes
yeah.
to raise the child. And that's what we have to do. The village is still there, but it's not very productive. It's not very positive.
That's
we got to restructure that. We got to get back to the neighbors can watch your kids and come to you and
that's
tell
right.
you what your child's done without you getting mad and want to fight the neighbor because you weren't
that's,
home doing what
right.
you needed to do. So now you're mad at the
right.
neighbor, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm just, he's right. It is a movement, you know?
It's
subtle, but it's getting there. And I like the way it's going because it's not on the 6 o'clock news. You know, we're out there getting it
That's
done
right.
so that we can change the paradigm.
Another dimension
we're gonna,
is that. Mm-hmm. I know you're probably ready
to
wrap
to take
up, but
a call. Let's
okay.
see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think we lost him. We had Dr. Ali on the line. I think he was on there so long. I think we lost him.
Oh,
but
I'm
I wanted
sorry.
To get one more. No. We're just. It's just that the conversation is so. profound that people want to get in it.
Well, if I could just
see.
Pop in here real quick, Sister Ava, just wanted
yes,
to
ma'am.
Make the point that one other dimension of this is we've reached across denominational lines. So we have
yes.
Imam Talib Sharif, who's executive director of Majid Mohammed Mosque here in D.C., but we also have the Jewish Relations Council. We have a Hindu representative. And within the Christian faith, we have everything from Pentecostal to Episcopal to Catholic.
Yes,
we
ma'am.
Have African Americans. We've got white folks, male and female, and old and young. I think our oldest person's probably going to be close to 90, and our youngest are going to be 14.
Awesome.
So that's another dimension that we're bringing to this.
Yes, ma'am. Because there are people from all walk of life that are tired. Of this environment
yeah.
that are
yeah.
absolutely tired of it. But I've got Dr. Salam, because we're down to 16 minutes. I've
okay.
got a few announcements I've got to make. Yeah. But Dr. Salam, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family.
Thank
you. To your guest, especially, and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, I am truly enjoying this. I did make a note of your website. I do some... advocacy work with the National Women's Law Network, as well as change.org, and also the Coalition on Human Needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate what you all are doing. It is some very profound work. But I just want to mention briefly that we got another Martin case, but it's not about a murder. It is about a young sister out of Newport, Tennessee. Her name is Jaleesa Martin, and she has a seven-month-old child, and she went to court for child support issues, and she wanted to name her child Messiah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
I'm
familiar
with that.
Okay. And she went in there, and the magistrate, whose name was Lou Ann Ballou, decided that Messiah was not an appropriate first name for the child.
That's right.
And ordered that her name, or the child's name, be changed to Martin Deshaun McCullough, which is both of the last names of both parents. And she said that the word Messiah is a title, and the only title should belong actually to one Jesus Christ. But what this magistrate, in all of her glory and her credentials, did not know is that Messiah is the fourth fastest growing baby name in the United States of America.
Yes.
So someone just needs to hold this young lady's hand and go back in court and let this crazed woman know this. Because as long as this goes on, when you break the spirit of a woman, you break the spirit of a whole household and the entire community.
Exactly.
And I always say that a house does not rest upon the ground, but upon a woman. And
yeah,
I just really, I'm enjoying this, and I just want you all to stay strong. And I'm going to visit this website and give you all the support I possibly can.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you again, family.
Thank you.
And also, you know, he always brings those really critical issues. But I did see there was an attorney on today discussing the Martin case. Somebody, as I think, and I'll just have to look again, but I think someone is taking it up on appeal. It is going to go up on appeal.
Right.
A lot of some groups have civil liberty groups, etc. This judge or magistrate is completely beyond any boundary of the law in that decision. But again, it just represents where we are right now in the nation's history and where we're poised, and the clear distinction between right and wrong, and to rob parents of their right to name their child whatever they see fit.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got people naming their children apple and banana and orange.
Right,
To me, that's a burden on a child. You know, but as he pointed out, it's that name, that's not a coincidence. There is no such thing as a coincidence. Is that in this hour, that name, Messiah, is rising day by day in terms of parents giving their child that name.
Yeah. Well, the judge,
I think,
really overstepped her bounds.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
No, I said the judge really overstepped her boundary. I mean, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, she went way out there. And really, hopefully somebody will talk to her. And she'll maybe entertain a motion for reconsideration or something, and really redo this herself, so she doesn't have to have the humiliation of being reversed and corrected by a court. Because
absolutely, probably the religious right to come in there and tap dance all over her.
Exactly. But I just say to our incredible esteemed guest, Sister Ruth Marshall, Dr. Stephanie Myers, you two are just beautiful, powerful women, and you have our support, and we just want you to know whatever we can do. And I think with Brother Terrence, you absolutely have the best quality assistance that one could have, and So we thank you both for coming on, and we pray that this summit have much success, because all of our futures are riding on it. And
well, it's truly
an honor
to be on your show. And Minister Louis Farrakhan is wise to have you as one of his spokespersons. And I was very proud to read about your background. It's just wonderful. And to hear the nation is stronger than ever, it's just exciting and wonderful. And so we're very pleased and honored to be with you this evening.
And we're looking forward to meeting Mr. T.C. Muhammad next week.
Oh,
yes. Several times.
Yes. He jets around really quickly, so he'll be in.
That's right.
We're delighted.
Thank you both. And I look forward someday soon to meeting both of you as well.
Thank
Absolutely.
You so much, Sister Ava. Thank you so very much. And thank you so much for having us on your show.
Any time. You just let us know, and you got it. And have
All right.
a blessed evening.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night. And Dr. Rizvi Muhammad, I don't want us to go off and I know you're drained from all the teaching you did over the weekend, but I didn't. I have a very special announcement to make, but I've got time. And
okay.
I wanted to see if you had anything you wanted to add,
well,
you know, shed some of your brilliance on us.
Yes, just one thing. You know, history is very important in terms of going forward, because, you know, certain words that we use and we just don't think about the significance of it. It's like when we say that it's, you know, it's always been like this, or, you know, you're going to always have this, that,
oh,
and the other.
Yes, yes, sir.
You know, but, you know, our teaching and our study of history shows that things have not always been this way. Black people have not always been in a locked-up ghetto situation fighting and killing one another. We did build civilizations and taught people civilization all over the world, and where, you know, conflict resolution was never, violence was never our way. But you have
no,
to study
it's
that,
not natural
that, so that we know that. And the Million Man March proves that in our genes is that. So I think that's why it's so important that we have a real study of history, so that we don't give our children the impression that what they see now is what it's always been. That's just all I wanted to add to the conversation.
And that's exactly what the problem is in the media, and it's given to our children because they're taught by the media, not by us. We're not bringing them up in the home with an understanding. I did not go. I went to kindergarten at age 4. I already knew how to read. I already had a sense of self. You know, my parents didn't send me to school for the school to be a daycare center.
Sure.
You know, and when children have goals, goals are what give people life.
That's right.
You know, and if we don't respect our own life, how can we respect anybody else's? We got to have that identity. And that's why it's important, you know, to remind everyone that the Nation of Islam, this is a core principle that we operate by. You can't
right.
be in our circle, and we learn that you carry or possess weapons. You know, it just, we don't even have to worry about gun control in the nation.
Well, not only that,
you know,
but
they're just not allowed. It's
we can't even fist fight the nation. As a matter of fact,
no,
we can't even cuss each other out. So,
no,
you know, it's
right.
a process all the way to the root.
Yeah, it forces you to use, as the minister said, man can be animal or man can reflect God. And it forces you to think, to rely on the intellect, and ultimately rely on the spirit and our connection with the Creator. As he said, rise above emotion into the thinking of God, and always ask ourselves, would my response be pleasing to the Creator? You know, without whom I wouldn't even have breath. But you're exactly right. We've got to make sure neither us nor our children get this idea that our condition is who we are. We are
right.
not our condition. You know, that's the point. But I want to make an exciting announcement. I couldn't make it before now because I didn't have certainty and confirmation. But Elevated Places family, this Sunday, August the 18th, your sister, Ava, will have the honor and privilege of joining the legendary Chicago radio station WVON, 1690 AM in Chicago, and I will be hosting a one-hour show entitled, you guessed it, Elevated Places.
Go ahead.
That show, it will air on Sundays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern. And of course, we're at the raw infancy stage. The program director did tell me that we can run this live on Blog Talk Radio. But for the Elevated Places family around the country, the show does stream live at WVON.com. This is the Chicago radio station that always hosts the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and it has a profound history that we'll talk about in upcoming weeks. And inshallah, we will work to attract audiences and sponsors, because this is commercial radio, commercial broadcast radio. But you also can download the iHeart app. There is an app. Yep. Go on your smartphone and look up iHeart. The letter I and the word heart, iHeart Radio. And you can actually put the app on your smartphone or any of your electronic devices, and you can just pull up WVON on your device. So I just wanted to share that great news.
Go ahead.
Yes, and it's what Brother Hoyle said earlier. You know, there's a movement, and it's time for people, our people, from all walks of life, to really come together. We have a common ancestry, common history, and at the root of us, a common belief system and one God. So, thank you all for listening, and I hope you will tune in Sundays, 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern, WVON, 1690 a.m. in Chicago, and WVON.com on the Internet. So thank you all. And Brother Terrence, you're headed out to D.C. To represent.
Yes, I am flying out on Wednesday for the March on Washington. And for those want to learn about Islam, the Academy will be going on next weekend in D.C. with our sister and sister Nisa. The National Action Network is doing events. Black Youth Vote is doing events.
Yes, sir.
But there's a lot of things going on for the March on Washington.
And you know what, Dr. Ali, who we lost, we're down to 2 minutes. I gotta hear him. He has a comment. He waited so patiently. Dr. Ali, are you on the air?
I am. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Well, alaikum salam, sir. Sorry we lost you before the sisters have gone off the air.
Well, I'll speak to a personal issue, which is very brief, and then allow your comments. When I was a child, my mother used corporal punishment to discipline me, not excessive, but what I would consider violent. It created quite a bit of aberration in my behavior. That behavior wasn't corrected until I became a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So I have a concern about the use of corporal punishment within the home on children who are incapable of defending themselves. So if you would speak to that in the context of the ladies' program they're holding on the 22nd. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, very briefly, I agree with you 1,000%, especially in the violent environment that we are in now. And we're down to 1 minute, brothers, if either of you had anything to add to that. But I think we should be as restrained as possible and seek every avenue of discipline, primarily by example, and peace and quiet in the house.
Thank you.
Well, I'm not a good one to answer on that one, so I'll let Brother Terrence do that.
We're not going to even comment on that. I remember
my son, he was like 10 months old, and he realized what he was doing. So I had to tap him on his behind so he could realize that I was the boss.
Yes, sir.
Because he knew what he was doing.
A tap is okay. I think, because we're down to 5 seconds. A tap, whatever is sufficient to get their attention, but I think it's, we've lost the internet people, but the callers are still on. But I think that we got to draw a line between discipline and abuse.
Right, and now
you don't need them like a slave. Exactly. And I think, Dr. Ali, that, for example, if you got a four-year-old and you're standing at a cross light and they break loose and try to run out the street, you got to grab them. You know, and you may tap them or something of that nature. But I think that, again, the violence and the beat, we've gone from discipline to abusive behavior, and domestic violence is a matter of misunderstanding of control and how to control. But when children are young, and they don't have reasoning capability, sometimes you will have to do something physical, really to stop them from hurting themselves or to make them think twice before they do that, for, you know, put their hands on a burning stove or things like that. I think as they age, there should be less and less of the physical contact.
Yeah, as they age, you can figure out things to take from them. I know with my children, I figured out what they like the most, and then I just took it from them. And when I give it back until they straight up act.
Well,
and I think that's the most effective way.
May I make another comment?
Yes, sir, real quick, because we're really off the air.
My comment is listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. If you enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new week.